You're listening to Coffee with Innovate Finance, where we speak with experts from the industry on the changing face of financial services and the future of fintech and financial innovation. I am Rashi Pandey, Associate Director of Membership and Growth, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Victor Mithward, who is VP of Growth at Numeral. Numeral is a cutting-edge payment technology platform catering to fintechs and banks with a focus on automation and efficiency. Numeral streamlines payment processes for businesses, enabling them to automate bank payments seamlessly through existing banking channels. So, Victor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Rashi. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And, you know, first of all, for those of us who haven't heard of Numeral, how is what you're doing revolutionizing the fintech and payments industry?
Numeral is a payment technology company. We were born 4 years ago. Our co-founders were actually fintech executives in scale-ups like IBAN First, Konto, and they realized that there actually was no easy way for fintechs to build multi-bank, multi-scheme payment operations across Europe or even at the global level. What we do is we help these first generation of fintechs that are now grown to working from a single bank to multiple banks, to connect all these banking partners in one place, access all the local payment schemes that they need at a pan-European level, and automate the relevant payment operations on top of those banking partners. These are things that when you're a Revolut, when you're Wise, you've had to build yourself. You've had to have, I think, between 300 to 400 engineers to build and maintain infrastructure. We enable that infrastructure out of the box for fintech companies that do not necessarily have the resources to do it themselves, that they can really compete with those large companies at the European level.
That's amazing. And can you share with us a little bit about your professional journey and background, and how did you find yourself at Numeral?
That's actually a great question, and it was not actually a linear path to get to Numeral. I've actually traveled a lot, and my background is originally in consumer packaged goods, so nothing related to fintechs. What happened 4 years ago is that I set up a company, which was a B2B wholesale marketplace in the US with a very strong component around payments. And by building this payment product, I realized how deep the world of payment is and how many opportunities there are in helping companies that have payment embedded at their core to do this better in a more seamless manner. And that's where, you know, I think Numeral, and I've been at Numeral now for over 2 years, is really changing the game, giving small and scale-ups the infrastructure that helps them build their products, build the value proposition that they have for their customers without having to have, you know, tens, hundreds of engineers required to maintain the payment infrastructure with their banking partner.
That's great to hear. And, you know, shifting gears slightly and, you know, talking about, you know, fintechs and how they're embracing multi-banking. In your opinion, how do you think are fintechs adapting to the need for payment resilience and continuity in Europe?
There has been so many changes in the past few months alone. You've had banks going under with SVB that have changed the center shockwave in the industry, because you have had fintechs that were relying on a single banking partners, and they actually realized that in order to develop, build, grow, and ensure that, you know, they were perceived as the source of trust of based on the service that they provide their customers, they had to have multiple banking partners underlying their payment infrastructure. You've also had signals from the FCA in the UK, which has blocked certain banking as a service provider like Modular from onboarding new customers, which obviously is a signal that, you know, preferred partners that have been usually making most of the payment infrastructure of these fintechs, they have to be challenged. You have to be careful about how you plan these things. And so you've seen fintechs naturally start thinking about, should I work with more banks? Should I be more strategic about the banking partners that I work with? And how do I fit this into my roadmap? So that's been the immediate consideration on the back of some fallouts like SVBs. On the other end of the spectrum, like looking into the future, you have regulation in Europe, PSD3, that is mandating that fintech companies, payment institutions, electronic money institutions regulated, in the future, safeguard their customer funds not just into one bank, but actually in at least two banks to ensure that in case one of the banking company, the banking institution, sorry, goes under, the consumer's funds are still always protected. So you're in that moment where both experience from the past year and a half, 2 years, and what is mandated by the regulator in the future are really tailwinds to for fintechs to really rethink how they approach banking partners, being more strategic about it, being more intent about who they're working with, and how these partners, with their own unique strength and services, are going to find a place within their operations.
I love the experience bit that you've brought in because we don't talk about it enough, right? But those are the biggest teachers, and you have to keep obviously those considerations in mind. And you know, what factors do you think are driving the shift towards multi-banking strategies among fintech companies besides the ones that you've obviously just mentioned in the past?
We talked about fear, like fear in
Yeah.
fact of banks going under, as we talked about fear in the fear of regulation in the future. Fear is potent, but I think what we see is that over and above these two trends, there are actually a lot of things that, from a business perspective, having multiple banking partners can enable. Just giving you a couple of examples, I think. Fintechs are looking into being more efficient from an economic perspective, you know, making sure that they manage to break even somewhere in the near future, if not next year, that their revenue per payments, their margin per payments improve. And one of the things that they're doing is that they're looking at international payments, they're looking at the money they're giving intermediaries, and they're saying, hey, I'm giving a lot of my margin away by working with those intermediaries. There is a better way, a more efficient way, which is working with a local banking partners that gives me access to local schemes, thanks to which my cost per payment is going to structurally decrease. So they are really economic considerations of multiplying a banking footprint, also of getting closer to the schemes, becoming an indirect participant, like removing the intermediation in your flow of payment is good for economics overall. And we see a lot of companies that have grown a lot pan-European that have bought services from others starting to think, hey, I actually need to work directly with the banks because if I do this, I'm going to decrease my cost per payment. And we have a company that decreased their cost per payments by around 10 times in a payments business by working directly with the bank. So you have this, I think you have an element of economics. We've seen also other drivers. Take, for example, companies which have a portfolio, fintechs which have a portfolio of customers. Some are risky business, considered as risky business, crypto, gaming, within a broader portfolio of less risky customers. Banks and traditional banks have different risk appetites depending on the industry of your customers. And so depending on where you want to develop, if you are looking to have these two types of customers, you probably need different banking partners in order to handle the services that you offer these customers. You probably need different banking partners if you offer gaming services than if you are just catering to traditional corporates. And having that agility of, you know, choosing by which banking partners you work with, depending on the customers that you onboard, ensures that one, commercially you can expand. And second, that you can deliver on your promise as a payment institution to ensure that no payments are rejected because of compliance, that you do not have, you know, month of onboarding when you onboard a new customer, because you're much more the master of your own destiny when you make these strategic choices and you have this strategic foundation. So for those reasons, I think there are a lot of also commercial drivers to embracing multi-banking that have appeared and that keep growing. I think as we see the first wave of fintech maturing, these footprint considerations become more and more important.
Fair enough. And Victor, you did mention obviously about, you know, SVB. How do you think recent bank fallouts have actually influenced the approach to fintech and bank partnerships?
Over and above the resilience points, I think that a bit of fear factor that has been injected within banks, I think there's been a bit of a correction over the 6 to 12 months following these events in terms of the reduced risk profile from banks of working with fintechs in general. It was not necessarily easy before, but it got a little bit harder. I think the environment got harder regulatory wise as well. What we see now is that there's still a lot of appetites from banks to work with fintechs. That banks have a dedicated strategy in most banks' cases to gather more deposits. And I think banks have the understanding and the realization that these fintechs are a great way to capture deposits if they can work with them, because they over and above the payment services that they offer, the largest fintechs have a lot of money in their accounts, and therefore that's a lot of deposits for the bank to handle. Not all deposits quality is equal, but there are still a lot of money to be made there. And I think the banks are also much more thinking as an ecosystem mindset. They want to have a partner for marketplaces. They want to have a partner for acquiring. They want to have a partner for payment facilitation. We see those banks, having this galaxy of fintech that they work with in order to be able to capture more funds, more money through the deposits. So I think it's a good time for to be a fintech and to talk to banks. I think banks will always be the best frenemies of fintechs, but I think the complementarity between banks and fintechs is often more now acknowledged, and so it's a good time to be talking to them. But as a company, Numeral, we are built on bank partnerships. We currently have integrated 20 plus banks throughout Europe, and banking partners. Every time we build an integration, we build a partnership with the bank. We get to know the teams, we get to know their problems, their challenges, so that every new customer we have with the bank allows us to better serve the next one. So
Definitely.
we live and breathe this with its complexity as well. Like, we don't necessarily talk always the same language. And we joke that part of what we offer to fintechs working with us to connect to banks is also being a bit of a cultural translator sometime between the developer API friendly sprint based way of working of a fintech and the way of working of a bank, which has made them extremely successful for many years, but is not on the same pace, is not on the same process.
Fair enough. And you obviously spoke about the fact that it's a great time to be fintech and all these partnerships that are coming out there. What criteria do fintech companies consider when selecting their banking partners? And how do you think fintechs foster these strategic relationships with their banking partners?
It's interesting because they are obviously the objective criteria, as like the products that the banks sell, so access to schemes, cost for this access, and what it takes from a compliance perspective to get to work with the bank. Banks sell they try to sell they would argue they sell different products, but often they actually sell the same products same to each other, and then it becomes very much a commercial discussion. We find that the relationship is the one thing that's extremely valued by fintechs at this point in time. I think it's been the bread and butter of banks for a very long time for more traditional corporate customers. But now fintechs are more and more choosing their banking partners based on their ability to relate to their challenges, the ability to have a more strategic discussions about what they're trying to achieve. Some banking partners do it extremely well. And I think fintechs realize that they need to spend the time and investment in terms of both people and money in fostering this relationship. Fintechs have dedicated banking organization. They have dedicated banking officers, head of banking relationships for each region that do manage and nurture this relationship. So it's I think it's something that's clearly an area of investment for fintechs in that trend of going more and more multi-bank.
And in what ways do technology and banking institutions collaborate to build these robust payment infrastructure?
That's an interesting one, because a lot of the existing infrastructure for bank is actually quite alien to fintechs. Like, file exchange is the core of the payment systems where trillions get exchanged every day. This is very robust, yet potentially very different than what developers are used to when it comes to APIs. It's a very robust way to do those payments. I think there's a as more and more fintechs wants to participate more in those payment schemes, I think they are more and more looking for technology buffers like Numeral to help simplify this journey. So the way we look at this is that there's a need in this infrastructure for players like us to enable more and more fintechs to participate in the payment schemes, to participate in those complex systems where files are exchanged, but in an easy way. That's how the democratization of participation in schemes is a critical success factor for the value creation of fintechs overall. We see this in Brazil with Pix, where the indirect participation model done properly has driven tremendous amounts of fintech innovation that has cascaded to customers' benefits. Like the adoption of instant payment in Brazil is extraordinary. So that's the place where I think there's a lot of there are a lot of areas of collaboration. These areas are going to expand with regulation opening, with more scheme access options opening up to fintechs. And at Numeral, we feel very privileged to be at that very moment in that space of the value chain where we can support fintechs in making that jump in becoming more involved in the payment schemes with their banking partners, obviously.
And that's very fascinating to hear, actually. And I want to move to the core banking side of things. And how do you think our core banking systems evolving to accommodate the demands of the multi-bank approach?
I think it's a big piece. A lot of things are being asked at the moment of core banking systems, like more instant payments, more complex financial products, ability to support multiple banks. Core banking are our preferred partner as a company. We are working with most of the core banking system in the market, especially the composable ones. Mambu, Tum are a prime example of this. And we come together to really support fintechs in their development. I think the core banking systems are, and if I think about as well as the challenges that they face, they are really willing to partner more and more because they realize that to embrace that change of multi-banking, they need to have partners that they can count on to connect to these different banks. And because they don't have necessarily the resources to build all those connectivity themselves. And we found that there's really a win-win partnerships in the cases of projects where we bring together one core system, the best of breed in its usage, with the best of breed when it comes to banking partners, and we have that glue that sticks the two in between them. So the core banking, lots of demands, great partners from a multi-banking perspective for Numeral, and I think there's really the a lot of investment that needs to go in there in the future.
And of course, it does probably does not come with its challenges without challenges, right? So what challenges do I like how you're smiling. What challenges do fintech companies face in integrating these multi-banking capabilities into their core systems?
It comes down to, for these systems, it comes down to routing. How do you actually have the you extend what you've operationally done with the more limited number of banks, but you extend that to more banking partners across more schemes. And that's a daunting task because you need to work on what's in your core, supporting multiple currencies or supporting local financial products as a core banking power system. You also need to work on that fragmentation of the last mile connectivity to banks. Every bank is different. You know, it's like open banking. We said, you know, open banking is rolled out. They are the PSD2 APIs in Europe. It's done. The reality is that the implementation of it was so heterogeneous that you had to have an orchestration layer in between all those different APIs and the companies that wanted to use open banking. It's still the case. So in that regard, I think the challenge is fragmentation of the different systems of banks. You could argue that because these banks are modernizing their system, that difference is going to reduce. Like everybody's going to have an API. Everybody's going to be like a ClearBank, Banking Circle, LHV with API first connectivity. Paradoxically, more API when you are in the multi-banking setup does not make your task easier because everybody has a different take on APIs. So there's a different opinionated perspective on how these things should work. Therefore, If you have 10 banks, you have as many APIs that you need to integrate. It's actually more complicated than what it used to be in the past, where you had more or less one file format or standardized file formats across the different banks. The challenge remains fragmentation. I think that's why we work so well with core banking systems, because we abstract the fragmentation, normalize the data and the payment flows in a single layer that then can plug extremely easily into a best-in-class core banking.
And moving on to benefits and opportunities, because we obviously have to talk about the positives now. What specific benefits does a multi-bank approach offer fintechs and their customers? And how does this provide access to local schemes and currencies and IBANs? Like, why is it so important?
You have the answer in the question. I think it's really about being local. We run a survey about 6 months ago about in European for European customers in the UK, in France, and in Germany, asking them what kind of IBANs, like account number information, they would trust, and asking them if there were differences, if the IBAN was from a country from or another, if it was from a company that was a bank in their country or not. The overwhelming response was that consumers, the end consumers using fintech products, would value much more local IBANs. Like, they trust these local IBANs at least three times more than if they see an IBAN that's not in their local markets. So really the answer is local, because local is trust. Local is efficiency when it comes to payments. Because you have a banking partner that allows you to access local schemes, you structurally pay less. It's also local when you have to struggle with some of the issues that Europe still has, which is IBAN discrimination. So the one thing that UK fintechs encounter quite quickly when they go to Europe is that UK IBANs are not accepted anymore. There's a lot of operational issues with those IBANs. That IBANs outside of a given country, IBANs outside of French, if you're in France, you'd better have a French IBAN as a fintech, because otherwise you're going to run into a long tail of issues that's called IBAN discriminations, where your non-French IBAN cannot go into the certain payments interfaces, cannot be accepted in some places. That is still quite prevalent. So the answer is local. If you want to have the best customer experience, the lower cost, go local, go with a local banking partner.
Fair enough. And in what ways does a multibank, sorry, were you saying something?
No, I was about to say it has a cost. Like, it's a question of when you can do it, and wait, what resources did it take you to actually do that? And at Numeral, we firmly believe that you should do that earlier rather than later. And part of that facilitation is having that integration done for you across multiple banking partners.
And actually, the fact that you said this actually brings us beautifully to the close and to the last point that I was going to ask you actually was the challenges of for stakeholders as well, right? How do fintech companies maintain robust integrations with multiple banking partners? And how can you guys support?
It's a journey building locally. It's a regulatory journey first and foremost, because obviously you have to make investments to have a local banking partner, have commercial terms at work. You have to ensure that you're in compliance with the local regulator, whether or not you passport your license, that depending on how you want to do it. And then there's the technical part of those integrations. And when I mean technical, it's not just the connectivity to connecting to the bank, is all the workflows that go around payments. Like, payments within a fintech is a series of workflows. Like, you need your product, your core banking, to be able to successfully initiate and track payments. You need your finance and treasury teams to be able to comply with regulation to safeguard customer funds at the end of the day. You need your customer service team to check payments that have failed. And once you have one banking partners, that's you can afford to have one way of looking at the information. You can be siloed. That works. But when you start to have 5, 10, 15 banking partners across Europe, as many partners as there are source of truth, it doesn't work. So the where we're really helping is to make sure that even though you are thinking multi-bank, you are thinking multi-scheme, you have a central place that's built both for product teams that require real-time API webhooks first connectivity. And for finance and operations team, we need a central view of liquidity, of the problem with payments, the tracking of that payment throughout its life cycle. You can have this at the ready, independently of the banks you work with. That's the part where we really help. Of course, there's still a lot of work where the fintech needs to do to set the foundation of that infrastructure, the banking relationship, like we mentioned. Fintechs are investing in dedicated banking teams and for really good reasons. But from a technical perspective, these teams sometimes are blocked because they want to add a new banking partner with which they have a great relationship, but there's no space on the product roadmap. So we come in and say, hey, you do not have to choose. We will help you add another bank. We'll help you reap the benefits of working with the right banking partners for you. Don't worry about the roadmap disruption because we will do this integration for you. And because you've built an integration to Numeral, that can scale to any number of partners.
That was a beautiful end to our podcast. Thank you so much, Victor, for joining us today. And if I may, if fintechs want to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Email me directly, victor@numeral.io.
Amazing.
I'm here.
Amazing. Thank you so much. That's why I love fintechs. Very, very open. Thank you so much for having such a candid conversation with us. And more power to you and to the team at Numeral.
Thank you so much, Rashi. Thank you very much for having us.
And to all our listeners, thank you once again for tuning into Coffee with Innovate Finance. And tune in for episodes every Friday on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more on our events and programs and for updates in Numeral as well. As always, until next time, take very good care of yourselves.